Welcome back to Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials, we're going to be chatting about Only Murders in the Building Season 3. This was going to be our Catching Kelsey episode, but then we took a good hard look at our lives and asked ourselves if we really wanted to watch Catching Kelsey, and the answer was probably not.
Actually, I would amend. I think we took a hard look at our lives and asked, do we want to spend money to watch Catching Kelsey?
That too.
Because if it was free, I was all in.
I agree. I think it was also like a time commitment thing though, because like all of the episodes were an hour.
Why are they so long?
Like really though, for what reason? For what reason were they so long? And so I was like, maybe we should just watch a TV show that I feel like you and I would watch anyways and enjoy thoroughly anyways. So then we decided to keep on brand with our love of comedic murder mysteries and watch Only Murders in the Building Season 3.
Quick cycle back to Catching Kelsey. I feel like there was also a massive spoiler alert that no one caught Kelsey, so I'm just kind of like, I can't even get that invested because no one got him.
Clearly. Or if they did, it was only for a short period of time, and now he's Taylor's.
So, like Kaylee said, we took a hard pivot from trashy romance reality TV to comedic mysteries.
So hopefully you guys like this one just as much, if not better. I'm sorry that we changed things up last minute, but it's our podcast. We can do what we want on here.
We make the rules. So I feel like most people know this show. I don't know why I think that, because I have no reason. I just talk about it a lot. But if you don't, the general overview is that it was created by Steve Martin and another man who I apologize, I don't know your name. And it stars Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. And so these three guys, so their characters are Charles, Oliver, and Mabel, and they're all fans of true crime podcasts. And so when a murder occurs in their building, they decide to make a podcast about it. And I feel like the show has done well. It's been nominated for awards and like gotten good reviews. And each season has like a different set of celebrity guest stars, which I feel like is kind of fun.
I feel like in terms of celebrity guest stars, this season had the best celebrity guest stars, in my opinion.
I mean, Meryl Streep.
I know. When I saw that Meryl Streep was on there, I was like, is she only in here for an episode or is she like a recurring character? And the fact that she was a recurring character made me so happy.
Yeah, I feel like Meryl Streep is awesome. Also, this kind of reminded me of, in terms of the main characters, actors, Steve Martin, Martin Short, Selena Gomez. Obviously, Selena Gomez from Sisters of Waverly Place. Is that what it's called? I don't know what it's called. Something about Waverly Place. Wizards! That makes more sense because she only had brothers. I knew that did not make sense. And for me, Steve Martin, my association for Steve Martin is Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yes, definitely.
I personally don't think I really saw anything with Martin Short.
I don't think I did either. I wonder though, was he like Jack Frost in, you know, those Santa Claus movies? Like he kind of looks like he might be the guy who played Jack Frost, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, he shows up Santa Claus 3.
Ah, okay, so that's where I know him from. I saw the Santa Claus 3 as a kid. So, season 2.
So basically season 1 and 2, if we want to do a very brief overview of the whole thing, is in each season, someone is murdered in the Arconia, which is the very, very fancy apartment building that they all live in. And each season, the trio makes a podcast about them trying to figure out who really did it. Okay, season 3.
So this season starts off with a murder that was actually not in the Arconia. So they at first were like, oh man, there's been this murder, but we can't podcast about it because it wasn't in the Arconia. But then the person who we thought was murdered was actually still alive and then was happened to be murdered again. So I guess remurdered, or there was a second attempt murder in the building and then he actually died on that second attempt murder. So our person was, what was his name?
Ben Gilroy.
Our person Ben Gilroy was the murder that occurred in the Arconia. He was a star in Oliver's play because Oliver is very into the theater. And so now it's kind of thrown this whole play for a loop. And it's also kind of thrown all of our main characters for a loop as everybody's trying to figure out who did it. Because it looks like someone from the play probably was involved due to a handkerchief that was found on the crime scene.
If you're familiar with the show, of course, all sorts of antics happen throughout the season. some more comedic than others. And there's a lot of subplots, too. Like, there's the whole Loretta, who comes in and basically insists that she was on the audition list, which part of me wonders if she even was, or if she was just, like, doing that, like, fake it till you make it scenario. Because the secret, spoiler, is that Ben Gilroy's manager was her biological son that she placed for adoption, and she was, like, trying to get to know him. So part of me is like, I don't think she was even on that list. She was just, like, trying to get into the play.
Yeah. But it seems like in the end it kind of worked out. At the beginning, it seemed like there was this whole, she's not very good at what she's doing. Why is she here? But at the end, it seemed like she really found her stride and was able to do well in the play-turned-musical.
Yeah. Also, I love that it was turned into a musical because musicals are just fun.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple love... Actually, all three of them have love interest side plots. Oliver falls in love with Loretta. Charles falls in love with his old makeup artist, Joy, and then he kind of ruins it because he's not able to function in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Joy leaves him with a fish, President McKinley. She was also mad at President McKinley, so when she moves out, she leaves him with Charles, which I thought was kind of funny. And then Mabel and Tobert. Or Tobert.
Tobert. I think it was Tobert.
Tobert, because he says it's like Robert, but with a T.
With a T. So I feel like of these relationships, the only two that I was really invested in were Oliver's relationship and Mabel's relationship. I don't think I was that involved in Charles's relationship. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he had like a love interest last season too. And I feel like his relationship just never felt like it was going anywhere. But I was much more invested in Oliver and Mabel's relationships.
I think the reason why I wasn't as invested in Charles's relationship and the way the season intentionally sets it out for a little bit is that I was convinced that she murdered Ben. And I was like, well, I can't get invested in this if he's dating a murderer again.
Yeah, but I do think it's interesting. I feel like almost every season, Mabel has a different love interest. So I'm like, is her love interest going to stay the same or change again next season? Because I feel like the season before, she had a different love interest, like from her past. And now she's got Tobert. And I'm like, is there going to be another love interest for next season? Because I feel like it's starting to get a little structurally too similar, and I'm hoping that we're going to see some changes in the following season.
But also, Tobert wants to go to California because he got an offer, so there's something going on there.
I know. Also, I was very pleased with who they cast for Tobert. I think it was a very good casting. I was very excited because I had watched this guy on Grey's Anatomy. I don't know his name, but I think he's a very good actor, and I was very happy that he was on this season.
See, that's not exactly what you wrote down.
No, it's not exactly what I wrote down, but I was going to try to play it cool, okay, Leanne?
I have things I need to ask, so I do have to share what you actually wrote down, which was the one cute guy from Grey's Anatomy in this series is Mabel's love interest. So, does that mean you think everyone else on Grey's Anatomy is ugly?
No, I thought there were multiple cute guys on Grey's Anatomy. However, I did think that this guy was probably the most attractive of all of the guys on Grey's Anatomy.
Because when you said the one, I didn't know if you meant like there was literally only one cute guy on Grey's Anatomy.
No, I think there are multiple cute guys on Grey's Anatomy, but I think like when watching the show Grey's Anatomy, the actor, I feel like I need to look up his name now because I'm like, otherwise I'm just going to be like, the actor. Hang on, let me look up his name so I can actually give credit where credit is due. I'm looking up Tobert. Oh, Jesse Williams. Okay. So Jesse Williams is who plays Tobert in Only Murders in the Building. And I feel like he was like one of the only people who was actually younger in Grey's Anatomy. You know what I mean? Not like the other people were not younger at the time, but like closer to my age in Grey's Anatomy. Because everybody else was like in their 30s or 40s.
Which I feel like realistically makes sense for a show about doctors.
It totally does.
Because I feel like it takes you till you're like 30 to be a doctor. Not that I know anything about becoming a doctor.
It does, because like you have to go through residency, you have to go through like so much schooling. It's a whole thing.
So another whole thing is Tobert's name, because I don't want to be rude, and I'm sorry if any people are actually named Tobert, but that is not a name.
I do feel like they so intentionally selected his name to be something so ridiculous so you could never take his character seriously.
What do you think of him as a love interest for Mabel?
I think he was fine. I don't think that... I feel like their connection wasn't that deep, though. Like, I feel like they had a similar interest in, like, the whole murder mystery type of thing. And for a while, I thought that it might have been Taubert who committed the murder because I was like, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. But that was not the case. What did you think?
I guess in a similar light, I didn't quite understand why they liked each other.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that was my thing. I was like, it seemed like they were coincidentally going to all of these things together. Like, they'd go to the one stakeout together at the guy's show. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it was like the piano. No, it was Ben Gilroy's understudy sings at a piano bar, and Taubert liked it and kind of tricked Mabel into a date.
Yes. And so I feel like it was just kind of a weird thing because at first he like tricked her into a date, and then all of a sudden they were kind of seeing each other, which I didn't quite understand like where the chemistry came from, aside from just like, I think you're cute, which I guess is fair, but I feel like there should have been more of a basis on, like, relationship building there.
Well, if Taubert comes back, maybe you'll get that. Or maybe we'll never see him again.
I have a feeling we're never going to see him again because it'll be like he's moved to California. I think that's what's going to happen. And then I think she's going to have a new love interest next season.
Maybe. Or maybe it will be her single girl era.
It could be. It very well could be. I do have to say, though, the plot twist at the end, sorry, this is totally jumping ahead, but the plot twist at the end with who is the next murder in the building, what did you think of that?
Well, as listeners should know, when we talk about stuff, there's going to be spoilers because otherwise you just have to censor the whole conversation. So they set it up to make it look like Charles was murdered, and then you freak out, and then 5 seconds later, you realize it was Saz, Charles's, not body agent, what are those things called?
Stunt double.
Stunt double body agent.
Well, I mean, I guess they do kind of stand in for their body for stunts, but like, I don't know. I'm kind of glad that they didn't let us think that Charles was dead all the way through the beginning of next season, because I think they totally could have done that. And that was definitely a decision point to let us know that it wasn't Charles who had died.
I think they could have done that. It would have been one of those epic cliffhanger things. But also when I put in the notes is when he first dies and you think it's actually Charles is... Steve Martin would not kill himself off on his own show.
True. Is it his show or is it Selena Gomez's? Because I thought it was like produced by Selena Gomez. Am I crazy?
Executive produced by Steven Gomez. Selena Gomez, Martin Sher, and Steve Martin. But under creators, it's Steve Martin's and somebody else.
Ah, got you. Okay, that makes sense.
I don't know enough about the production industry to say like whose show it is, but like I feel like if he created the show and he's an executive producer on it, I don't think he would kill himself off. I think at that point they would probably just end the show if one of them wants to leave.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Because the whole point of the show is the dynamic between this trio. So I feel like if any one of them wanted to leave, it's kind of like, what's the point of having the show anymore?
Yeah, I could see that. I think it's funny though, because you and I were kind of watching the last 30 minutes in real time together and writing in our comments.
Do you want to explain why?
Yeah. So we were like, we had touched base earlier in the morning before we started recording. And then Leanne said, oh, I still haven't watched the last 30 minutes of the episode. And I was like, oh, I haven't either because I fell asleep. And so we were like, okay, let's watch these 30 minutes before we record. And we were taking notes at the same time. And we were talking about who did the murder on this season. And we were both at the part where the mom producer had admitted to being the murderer. And then Leanne puts in this comment that says, but she didn't actually. It was the son. And so then I look over and I'm like, we must be at the exact same part because that just happened to me. So I left notes like, are we at the same part? And she was like, I think so. We're watching this in live time together.
So first of all, I think it's kind of funny because in the beginning, we really planned things out. I think we outlined every week ahead of time. And I just think it's funny how you fell asleep, but I just completely forgot to watch the last episode of a show that we were recording an episode on. So here we are. Yeah, that was wild. It was also fun, like, reacting to the comments in real time.
I agree. I was, like, going through and I would sometimes see the things that you would say. For example, when I put in my comment about Taubert and you were like, I love how you described this.
Yeah, that was fun. Okay, so we can circle back to this if you want to, but I'm getting really distracted because we did the whole comments about the producer, mother, son, who really killed Ben Gilmore thing. Mm-hmm. And I keep getting distracted by the note you put that says, I'm still not over the date where Oliver lost a tooth.
Okay, I think that I'm over it. And then I think back to the season and that's always the first thing that comes to my mind. And now I'm like, I am in fear. I am in fear. What if I eat like a very tough meatloaf and my tooth just comes out?
First of all, I think your teeth do get weaker when you're older. So I think that probably shouldn't be a concern right now. I don't know if it could be. I think if it was tough enough to take your tooth out, you probably wouldn't be able to bite it. You don't look convinced.
It's still a concern. I think also it made me think about, so like recently, I feel like a lot of celebrities have been getting veneers. Right? Have you heard about this?
No, I don't follow a ton of celebrity news.
I don't either, but I keep seeing things about people getting veneers, and I'm like, it's kind of confusing to me, but I guess if you want your teeth to look really nice, I guess you can like get them shaved down a little bit, and then you put on these little veneers, which are like kind of like caps for your teeth. But I think I heard something where like sometimes the veneers will just pop off. And then it's like, then you have your little shaved down tooth underneath. And so I was just like, oh my gosh, does he have veneers? And that was my first reaction when I saw him take a bite into it and then his tooth was gone. I was like, it's the veneers.
I think it was his actual tooth.
I think so. It definitely was because like there was a gap.
Okay, 2 points. One is I love how he just continued the date after.
Yeah, he was just like, no, I'm committed. I really like you. So... oh, well.
And second, did they ever address him getting his tooth fixed? Because I feel like he just had a tooth at one point after that incident.
I feel like you're right. I feel like he did. I also wonder, like, what did they do to make it look like he didn't have a tooth? Because I feel like those shots were done very intentionally, and it was very intentionally placed. I feel like they probably just put a raisin over his tooth, to be honest with you.
Oh, see, I was thinking they just digitally removed it in post-production.
That would be the high-tech version. I'm... thinking low tech.
You're thinking like we're still producing movies in like the 80s.
I'm thinking this is still the Star Wars era, okay? Where they have like gel underneath things to make it glow or whatever.
Hey, I guess you never know.
You never know. So I'm still not over the tooth thing. It still makes me think about people getting veneers and I wonder if they will be randomly eating dinner somewhere and then their veneer will fall off. If you have veneers, let me know. I'm curious. Not that I want to get veneers. I like my teeth just as they are. However, the thought has passed my mind several times where I'm like, what happens if you're eating a food and then your veneer is just gone?
I think you just call your dentist.
I think so. But like, it's weird because I think people get like several sets of veneers. Like you could get a set of veneers and then decide you don't like it and then get new veneers. And then it's like your teeth have just changed. So bizarre.
I would be more concerned about losing my actual tooth than losing a veneer.
Oh, I would too. I'm more concerned about the whole fact that you gotta like shave down your tooth somewhat to put on the veneer. Like, why do people do this to themselves? No offense to people who have veneers. Like, I'm sure you could have veneers and be perfectly happy. But to me, I feel like from a health point of view, I feel like I would be worried. Like, does that not damage your tooth? I don't know.
I think it's societal standards of beauty.
It is, but it's like very... it's kind of scary. I think it's like the plastic surgery of this year or like the 2020s.
Interesting.
Like, you know how people used to get Botox? Now they're all getting veneers.
I feel like they're also still getting Botox.
They probably are. I just choose not to look at that. Instead, I'm clearly watching veneers. Okay, moving on. Sorry, this is like a whole tangent. When we were taking our notes in real time, before we saw that the stunt double was killed, I literally put in the notes, I feel like one of these days the stunt double from Brazos is going to be killed. I don't know, she just gives me secret murderer vibes. And then immediately after, Charles got killed, and then we found out it wasn't Charles.
So she can't be a killer now.
She can't be. But did she not give you, like, she could totally secretly be the killer vibes? Because, like, she was, like, a little unhinged, I felt like.
A little?
A wee bit.
Just a smidge. Also, if anyone's wondering, that's Jane Lynch. Which I was a little sad because I kind of like Jane Lynch popping up every few episodes.
Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoyed her character, but she always gave me the vibe of, like, whatever case they were working on, I was like, I kind of feel like it could be his stunt double who is the murderer. She does kind of give me unhinged vibes.
I think also this has to do with the way They obviously put, like, makeup and styled the hair to make them look similar, but I also love the whole Jane Lynch is supposed to accurately represent Steve Martin thing that's going on, even though, like, she doesn't, but also, like, kind of could.
Yes, because it's like, they clearly do not look that much alike, but it's like, they kind of could, maybe at a passing glance. I think it's also because, like, she's just, like, so tall and thin, and, like, his shoulders are a little bit broader. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if it could pass, but maybe. Maybe if you were, like, just standing in for a stunt, maybe.
I think it's part of what contributes to the comedy about this is that they do not have the same body shape.
No.
And so the fact that she's supposed to be a stunt double for someone who has a completely different body shape is just amusing.
Yes. And I also look at it and I think it's amusing that, like, she still dresses like him, even though they're not working together anymore. She's, like, still imitating him. And I feel like that kind of contributes to the eeriness of her character, where it's like, you could totally go and be your own person now, but you're still kind of stunt doubling for this guy when you're no longer in the show together. The show is over.
Also, what do you think of Saz as Charles's relationship coach scene?
I kind of love it. I think that she gives good advice. 10 out of 10.
Poor Charles. Is that why he kept going in that weird white room every time he tried to sing the Pickwick triplet song? Because I feel like once Joy moved out, he was fine.
I think so. I think it was like stress from Joy. I think so. I think it was just he wasn't ready to be in a relationship. And maybe it was because it was like a song about babies. And then he was like, what if she wants a family? What if she wants a serious relationship? And he would just spiral.
Yeah. But oh my gosh, when... I don't know if it was Oliver and Mabel or just one of them, but when they were basically like, you need to break up with Joy, I think it might have been Oliver. And then the next scene is Oliver walking in on Charles proposing to Joy, and Oliver's just like, okay.
Yeah, oh my gosh. And then when Charles was like, I didn't actually mean to propose to you, I was like, oh my gosh, could you imagine anybody saying that in any context? It's just, yikes.
I mean, I guess it's better you know before you sign the marriage papers, but, like, not great.
So true. So who of the dynamic trio is your favorite?
I don't know if this means he's my favorite, but I would like to give a shout out to Oliver's love of dips. This was specifically highlighted in the first season where he has his lines about, like, who says dips can't be a meal. And that is what inspired my dips, drinks, and desserts dinner party that I had once. And it was fantastic. So dips can be a meal.
I love it. I think that I definitely appreciate his love of dips. However, Oliver is my least favorite of the three.
Yeah, I just love his love of dips. I think as a cop-out, my favorite is like, I like watching Mabel's reaction to Charles and Oliver being like, quote, old.
Yes, I agree.
Because it's hilarious. And then they try to be hip and they try to use like hip young people language. And it's just really funny.
I agree. I think that Mabel or Charles would probably be my favorites in this series, just because I think that sometimes Oliver is a little over the top, because he's always, like, taking you to the theater, and I feel like it's so reinforced how central that is to his identity, and maybe it's just because, like, I'm not as into the theater. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love a good musical. I love a good show. But I'm not as deeply entrenched in the theater that I'm just like, for me, I don't love it as much. I feel like sometimes it kind of, those are parts that I feel like I could almost like skip over. So for me, I think Charles and Mabel are probably my two favorite characters there.
I agree that I don't care as much about theater references and the talk about theater because I am not a theater kid. But from what I've heard about theater kids, it's probably an accurate representation because I feel like they live and breathe theater, right? Like that's the whole identity. And I feel like that is very much Oliver's identity.
Yes. I would be curious to see. I should ask my friend Emma what her thoughts are because I feel like she's probably watched this series. I should ask her what her thoughts are on Oliver because she grew up acting in plays, singing in operas, just constantly entrenched in the world of theater. And I wonder if maybe there are like some references there that I as a viewer from the outside world am not seeing compared to someone who is more entrenched in the theater would appreciate those references more.
I think, because I've been thinking when you're like, who's your favorite of the trio? And I was like, I don't know if I have a favorite of the trio because I think what I like is the dynamic between them all, or among them all.
That's fair.
Because, like, I was thinking, yeah, it would probably be between Charles or Mabel, but, like, I don't particularly love either one to the point of being like, oh my gosh, they're my favorite character. Mm-hmm. I just like how they, like, kind of snarkily react to each other.
Yes, I agree. I think that Mabel is fun because she is always reacting to the other two, like, oh my gosh, you're so old. Or, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. But I think that it's kind of fun because Oliver and Charles definitely have, like, the carefreeness of older people where they're like, I'm going to do this because I want to do this and I think this is what we should do. And I appreciate that.
I like when so in the season, they all have a fight and for, like, a brief period of time, they're not talking. And how in one scene, Charles and Oliver are trying to figure out how to apologize to Mabel, and Oliver says something like, oh, should I call her? And then Charles says, oh no, she'd hate that.
Yes.
And then Oliver says, okay, well, I drafted a text.
So true. But okay, how do you feel about phone calls versus texts? In what situation would you want a phone call versus a text?
I want a phone call if it takes you more than 30 seconds. Like, if it's like a conversation that requires more than 30 seconds of typing, or if it's something where, like, you have to explain this whole scenario that happened and it would just be over quicker if you called me.
I agree. I think that that's kind of where I land with that. I also think that I do appreciate a good phone call, especially if, like, I'm not doing anything and the other person isn't doing anything. That's the point at which I'm like, yeah, I would really appreciate, like, a phone call. Because, like, then we can go on a walk and we can chat or something. You know what I mean? It's, like, it's nice.
I think, like, I don't mind if it's, like, a long back and forth, but it has to be short messages if it's going to be texting.
If I have to read a paragraph, I will get fatigued.
Yeah, I don't want to read a dissertation over text. Also, you have to tell me you're going to call first. If you just call, I'm not going to answer.
See, if you just call me, there's like a 50-50 chance. It depends on how I'm feeling.
I feel like because calls take more time.
Yeah, I guess. Was there anything else that you wanted to address in season 3?
I guess just what you thought of the plot. Did you think it was a good play? Did you like the musical? No, it's not even a play. Did you think it was a good murder plot?
I thought it was entertaining. It definitely kept me guessing, and it was not something that I could piece together from the initial get-go. What about you?
I think I also liked it. I said to Kyle when I was watching this, I think the reason I like this show is partially the nostalgia that's been built up from, like, season one over the seasons. Because I think, like you said, it's possibly falling in the trap of not being very original anymore. Mm-hmm. But, like, it doesn't make me not like it.
I think the first season was definitely their best season. I think they've yet to top that season. But I do enjoy it. It's something that I wouldn't mind, like, throwing on if I am just looking for something to watch. So that's kind of where I feel like I stand.
Yeah, I think for me, the first season, I was like, this is the best show ever. And then I'm like, now I'm just kind of like, it's fun. Like, it's entertaining.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that part of that is just the repetitiveness of some of the tropes that we see. So I'm like, hopefully maybe for next season they'll have some new ideas in there, some new things going on, so it's not the same tropes.
I think part of that could be if you're doing a comedic mystery show, essentially the same thing's going to happen every season, right? Somebody's going to get murdered. They solve the murder. I guess you can change some things and throw in some surprises, but I think it's kind of like with those, like, procedural shows, CSI or whatever. It's like the same thing happens every episode, but people still watch it.
That's true. That's very true.
Would you want to live in the Arconia?
No, I'd get murdered.
That's what I said. I was like, super fancy New York apartment? Yes, please. That looks very nice. And then I'm like, yeah, but the chances of, like, getting murdered seem a little too high. So
yeah, it's like uncanny.
I also do not have the salary that it would require to live in the Arconia.
Nor do I. Honestly, how do Oliver and Charles afford that? They probably bought so long ago.
Also, I feel like Charles had the TV show. So if he bought it, like, when he was doing that, it seemed like a pretty successful show.
That's true.
I'm not sure how Oliver got there.
Me either. Because I feel like none of his shows were super successful. But I feel like didn't they mention something about him having financial troubles living there at one point?
Yeah. Because he didn't have enough money to pay, like, the condo fees or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, Would you watch season 4? I know they're renewed. I feel like I'd watch it.
I'd watch it. I'd be curious to see what's going to happen, because it looked like Saz was like not 100% dead at the end of this. So I'm wondering if maybe Saz is going to live, and then it's like a exposition into like who tried to kill Saz.
Mm.
What do you think? Do you have any predictions or thoughts for season 4?
See, I had that thought because you saw her like reach her hand and like tap the blood. I was expecting, like, the opening season, like, she just pops up off the floor.
Yeah, like, I'm always wearing a vest. I could totally see that. Where she's like, I always wear a bulletproof vest. It's part of your stunt double training.
My only thing is, like, they already did, like, a dead but not dead plot this season. So I feel like it'd be a little soon to do that again.
Yeah. I'm also curious to see, like, it kind of almost looked like she was trying to write something on the floor.
Maybe. Maybe that was it.
I don't know. Very interesting. We'll have to tune in next season to find out.
Yeah.
If you're interested in joining us for our next book club will be Pockets, An Intimate History of How We Keep Things Close by Hannah Carlson, and that will be dropping on March 4th.
We hope you enjoyed our discussion on season 3 of Only Murders in the Building. We'd love to hear what you think about the show, any predictions for the next season, so you can email us at gmail. You can email us at zillennialspodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram @zillennialspodcast. And don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you're listening.